lazy days of summer have arrived, and with them, the opportunity to travel and see new places.
Maybe you're headed abroad to Paris, the City of Lights, and home of the 2024 Olympics. Or perhaps your journeys are taking you south of the equator to Peru for an epic hike to Machu Picchu, or to Bolivia to see the salt flats of Uyuni.
Or maybe like us, you're finding your travels are closer to home on the trails of a national park, like Mount Rainier, Shenandoah, or Yosemite.
From hikes to hotels to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they are writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library, and you actually will not find this deal anywhere else, everybody. Head to our show notes to check it out and see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings may take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides have you covered.
Head to moon.com and use code GAZE24 at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel, let your heart be your compass, let Moon be your guide. Hello and welcome to Pride Mix here at Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. June is LGBTQIA+ Pride Month, and during the month of June, our Trail Mix episodes are called Pride Mixes.
Pride Mix is a chance for us to dive deep into queer history, and in some cases, how queer history intersects with the national parks and the National Park Service's role as America's storyteller.
Well, in our Pride Mixes from Season 2 and 3, we turned our focus on events and people in history, specifically in New York and San Francisco, to help illuminate the contributions of queer people in the LGBTQ+ movement. In the last 2 years, we turned our focus on laws which have been enacted against the LGBTQ+ community.
From Don't Say Gay legislation to anti-trans bills, the laws of the last several years, and the rhetoric of conservative lawmakers that drive them, the United States has certainly regressed in the treatment of the LGBTQIA+ community.
While these issues by no means are resolved, we wanted to turn our lens yet again for our Pride Mix episodes. This year, we are focusing on queer individuals within the community and organizations whose work is having a direct impact on the outdoor spaces, the national parks, and the LGBTQIA+ community.
Our first Pride Mix of the season is an interview with Tiana Boone. In the last year, Tiana was a member of the Queer Inclusion Conservation Crew, working at both Saguaro National Park and Organ Pipe Cactus National Monument, a program made possible by the National Park Foundation.
Working through the American Conservation Experience Program, or ACE, Tiana's time at both NPS sites was filled with amazing opportunities to learn in the field.
Join us as we hear about her experiences, what it means to be queer in the outdoors, and what kind of lasting impact this experience has had on her.
And for more information about the National Park Foundation and all its programs, please be sure to visit their website to learn more, nationalparks.org.
We are so excited here at Gaze at the National Parks to welcome Tiana Boone. Tiana, you are doing a really, really special project right now that is brought to us by the National Park Foundation, but it was organized, orchestrated, created by the American Conservation Experience. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on and where you are and the kind of work that you do each day with this project?
Thank you so much for having me, first off. Lovely to meet you guys. A little bit about what I'm working on right now. I'm in Texas and they're doing this really awesome fire program right now, and I'm learning about how to control wildland fires. I'm learning wilderness first aid as well, and also invasive species that have been harming the natural wildlife that should only be there. You know, a lot of invasive species arrive because of the history of the ranchers and all that. And so now that we know, we try to delegate that as much as we can, which I think is a really, really interesting thing to be working on. I'm really interested in this type of work.
when it comes to this type of work, is that like, what's your background? Like, where, like, what brought you to the ACE program, and how did you get involved with that in general? Like, where did that all come into play for you?
I love this question, especially because I had no experience in this type of work at all. Like, I came from Michigan and I was like a waitress. I worked at like a pet store, and you know, I didn't also do many outdoor activities growing up. You know, I stayed inside most of the time, was in some plays, but I really wanted to just try something different. And so I took a really big leap and went to Arizona, and that's where ACE's like headquarters are at, in Flagstaff. And I just wanted to try it out. And it's really cool because they're really inclusive to anyone who's never done anything like this. And they're really helpful. And they really helped me get on my way, feel more confident in this field. But now I feel like it's just something I've got to do like forever. I want to.
I'm curious about your relationship with the outdoors. How did your relationship with the outdoors begin? How did it evolve? And how did it bring you to participating in this project?
It started off very, I honestly would say pretty poorly. I think growing up, we shied away from the outdoors, me and my family. We didn't enjoy like camping. We didn't really, you know, I think one of the fears I inhibited from my mom was like spiders and like bugs. And you know, we did not like going outside. And when I was 18, that's when I started camping, just like in the little areas in Michigan. And I was like, this isn't too bad. This is not too bad. And I really actually enjoyed learning about this topic specifically, because when I came to ACE, they showed a video about people of color's history with the outdoors and how that has been seen and proven to have like really changed. And like, because of all the things that have happened now, you know, we have grown for this distaste of the outdoors and the fear of it. And I was like, yeah, that applies a lot. I feel like I'm really turning a new leaf in my family almost sometimes, just about this new, very new stuff that I'm doing that I feel like my family didn't imagine at all for anyone in my family to want to be doing that. So it was really cool.
And outside of ACE, aside from camping, did you start to like explore more parks? Was that something like, as you kind of started to like, as you said, turn that new leaf and kind of get more invested in the outdoors, what were other activities that kind of brought you to that space to then kind of like maybe even fuel the fire for, like you said, a pretty big leap from Michigan to ACE?
Yeah, it's really recent. So I don't have too many adventures, but that was the first time I've really been outside of Michigan and really wanted to take affirmative steps in this journey. So I came to Arizona in October of 2023. And that's the first time I've been to like a national park. When I went to the National Monument, I think it's Chiricahua National Monument, I believe. That was like the first one I've been to, Saguaro, Oregon Pipe. And now I've been to Laguna Atascosa. It's a refuge for birds, predator birds. But that's all I've really done so far. Like, I haven't been to the Grand Canyon yet, which I am planning. And when I make my trek back to Michigan this summer, I will absolutely be staying in some more national parks and camping there. So I'll have some more on my resume soon. But I haven't done too much yet.
So you get to Saguaro, you get to Oregon Pipe, Cactus National Monument. And so you're a part of this crew of people. And tell me about like the community that's created between all of you, how that is carried over into the work that you do every day.
When I first saw the applications for ACE and in Arizona, one of the ones I saw was the Queer Inclusive Crew. And that was just so beautiful to see. I really appreciate, because I was scared to come down to the South, you know, as a young Black woman, you know, also queer. I was very scared to like, you know, just be stepping out of my comfort zone so far. And it was really nice to see that they had specifically a program for people who supported this community and want to see more people of this community be in this space. And I just like to see more of people that I connect with. I feel like there have been a lot of people that are a part of the community that weren't just in this crew as well. So it kind of like brought me closer to the other crews, and also just brought me closer to people I didn't know before in the community.
Why do you think it's important to have a group like a queer conservation crew within the park system? Like, what does that do for the people that are involved? What does that do for the parks? Like, how do you feel? Like, what's the impact felt?
Well, for me personally, the biggest impact for me was realizing that we are everywhere, not just everyone who, you know, identifies as someone in the community, but supporters as well. I thought that was a really big impact for me. I thought I'd feel like really outcast, really different. And even if I do feel that way in the public eye, you know, with this crew, I know that this crew, you know, supports me and they'll, you know, stick up for me and, you know, provide a safe space for me in this new environment. I think that was a huge impact for me. And also tying into that, feeling that I can take up space, feeling that I can be who I am without, you know, necessarily needing to cower. You know, of course, respectful fear is always good. You know, I'm still learning and healing, but I do feel more confident, you know, at least getting to start off in a crew that specifically caters and, you know, is designed for this group of people to connect.
Tiana, you seem like a really curious person who likes to nourish their own curiosity. And I'm wondering, what are some things you've gotten to do by participating in this conservation crew, in this project that has really gotten to nourish your curiosity about things that were new to you?
I do feel like a very curious, I love looking up things and I love just doing as much things that I put my eye on as I can. Especially growing up, I feel like in an environment that might have squandered that sometimes, you know, a little bit of fear-based living. And it took a lot for me to want to heal that. Coming here, I've just been able to do that and more. I learned how to like work a candy cow machine at Saguaro. I learned how to pull out buffalo grass from the ground. I just learned how to, like, what am I doing now? I just got chainsawed certified. I'm wilderness first aid certified as well. Things I didn't even imagine that I could do without going to school as well. I haven't gone to college yet. And so this all seems like a really big dream. And it's been nice to be able to feed my curiosity without having to go to school yet. I just wanted to get a little bit more life experience before going into that world, especially because I feel like this moment is healing my inner child a lot. I feel like she's getting the chance to like just get down and mess around in the dirt and, you know, not worry about things getting dirty. This is a really awesome experience.
That's such a beautiful like way to experience the outdoors too, and to like feel like it's a healing experience. Like that's so important, I think, not only healing, but nurturing in so many ways. I'm curious, what does this mean for you? Like, what is this experience that you've had want to push you towards more of? Whether that's education, whether that's more outdoor time for yourself, whether that is a degree that maybe would factor into some of the things that you've been doing. Like, how does this factor into kind of like the next steps for you?
I am super excited. This has really been a really healing experience for me because I am excited to see what's next. You know, I feel like I have so many options and it's not just like a, well, I can just go do this, you know. I'm excited to get back to school. This last week, we've been in some fire training classes and it's been really different from the work we're used to doing. We're used to just like getting up and hiking for a couple miles and then like hacking at the ground, you know, or carrying chainsaws to our location. So it's been a really big change for us as well, sitting down in these chairs. But it's been really nice to experience that because it makes me excited to learn. And I enjoy the stuff we're learning about. I'm retaining it. I'm learning in a way that is comfortable. I feel like completely just an individual diving into this stuff with no pressures. Like I truly just want to learn about this. And I'm really excited to see where that takes me because ACE also provides an education award. The first four times you do a term, you get, depending on what project you're doing, you get an amount of education fund. So I also feel like I can take a confident step in that next step, in that next journey, because they're able to boost me a little bit, you know, especially because that's a big worry I've had growing up, you know, financial equity and all that. So it's just really cool to feel like I can do something next. And also with this in-life experience, I can just also go into a job if I want to. So it all depends on what I want to do, which I will admit I am still deciding.
But isn't it great to have options? Aren't options the most beautiful thing? And it sounds like you have a ton of options. I feel like options equal like confidence. And like, there's like a freedom in that feeling of like, okay, I have, it's possibility, I guess is what I'm getting at. Possibility, it equals confidence, I think.
Do I agree with that?
The ACE program, it's a solid year that you're with them. And then my follow-up to that is there a possibility, you had mentioned with the education award, you could do this through your first four times. Is there a possibility to go and do another year after this? And is that something that you'd want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. The first four terms you sign up for provide you with an education fund, and you can still sign up after that. I believe, yeah, you can. I do know that it's true because I asked and I was like, I would like to keep doing this, and you can. They just don't supply an education fund for it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, you know, do this work for a long time, just it stops after the fourth period for the education fund. And I am extremely interested in this because they also just sent out a crew in Hawaii what were they doing? It was such a really interesting project. They were using machetes to like cut down these, it's probably like some invasive species trees that they want to get gone in that refuge. And I think that's just such an interesting opportunity that they got. And I would love to keep being a part of that. So I hope that that is in my future. But if I do go back and go back to school, that's also be really cool as well. But it wouldn't be a bad idea to like rack up my education fund and do a couple more terms if they let me, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it also, you know, it lends itself, if that's something that you're not only interested in, but passionate about and you're excited about, then yeah, why not? If that feels like it'll also provide more possibility and opportunity for you, it seems like it would fit exactly how you want it to within your life right now. That's an absolute like go after it because it's there for you kind of situation.
I love being able to feel that right now because it really does feel like that, a new way of exploring life that, you know, I've never got to experience before in school. It feels so, do this and then you should do this and then this is what you should do next. And it's nice, and it's scary to not get that, but it's nice as well. It doesn't, you get to choose.
Yeah, it's like a little less formulaic in some ways and a little bit more choose your own adventure, which is kind of neat. And you're provided with so many skills that now those are incredibly transferable, I'm sure. For any, if you were to head out on another stint, you would have this already under your belt, which I'm sure would be used in other spaces, as well as acquiring new skills too, which is really cool. That you just are going to walk out of here with so much knowledge under your belt for whatever you decide to do with it.
Thank you. It's cool. I didn't know I could attain this much knowledge without going to school. You know, I completely racked this off the possibilities. So like you said, possibilities equal confidence, you know, like, and I'm really excited to see how that builds my confidence up over time as well.
I really love how clear and confident you are about where you were and what you felt like you needed. Because, yeah, I do feel like, I mean, society lays out these scripts that are like, yeah, this is the script you have to follow. And it's like, okay. And generally speaking, I feel like as queer people, we go, no, we can't be ourselves and follow these scripts. Thank you very much. And there is a lot of freedom when we step into our own queerness and go, hi, this is me, and I know who I am, and I know that that trajectory, that pathway, that script, not for me. There's like a lot of kind of inventing it for ourselves, but then it sort of opens up the seeing all of the other possibilities and all the other pathways and all the other, not only like other scripts that exist, but all the scripts we can write for ourselves. So I loved how clear you were about, no, this is what I needed. Going to college wasn't what I needed right then. I needed to do something a little more like this.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It took a lot to, you know, not be afraid to just say my truth. And that is completely my truth. I didn't want to go to school. I tried for like one semester and I didn't want to finish and I didn't. And even though I went through a period of being ashamed of that, I wouldn't be here, you know, if I didn't. So, you know, if you like to hear the advice of everything happens for a reason, then it does, you know.
During the months of May and June, we are highlighting the work of LGBT plus outdoors in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
LGBT plus outdoors mission is all about connecting members of the LGBTQ plus community through the outdoors, strengthening the ties of the community, and fostering a love of the outdoors while doing so.
Along with creating community among queer outdoor adventure seekers, LGBT plus outdoors seeks to break down stereotypes and remove barriers for the LGBTQ plus community in what is traditionally a heteronormative outdoor industry. LGBT plus outdoors is committed to not only this, but sustainability practices in the outdoors, including environmental stewardship, inclusivity and accessibility, and collaborative partnerships.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support LGBT plus outdoors this May and June. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Or go to www.lgbtoutdoors.com/donation form.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about just the program in general. You started in Arizona and you were at Saguaro and the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. So now you're in Texas. How does the ACE program like work to kind of shuffle you to different spaces?
I think it's so interesting how ACE works. So thank you for those questions. And it's both options. It's like as a need basis. And also, yeah, just I think it's mostly where they need you at that time. There's a lot of work in Flagstaff. You're not with the same crew all the time. For these dedicated crews, like the one I'm on right now and the one that I was just on, the queer crew, you stay with that crew for the entirety of however long that duration is. And same with this one. So I will be with this crew in Texas and Victoria until April. But I learned that that's not how it usually works in ACE. Usually you go out with a crew for, I'm not too sure, the durations, maybe like a week or so. And then you come back to the housing in Flagstaff and you stay there and then you wait till they, and then you keep going out. But it is definitely as need basis. So you have to keep applying as well, which is the only tricky part, which is kind of rocking me up because I love stability too. So you have to plan ahead and like apply for a term ahead and see if that matches up with the dates. And if it doesn't, find out what you're going to do in that little time, which is what happened to me when I applied for this one. There was a month period where it wasn't going to start. And so they allowed me to stay at the housing in Flagstaff for a month until it started. And then they drove me to Victoria. So they work a lot around your needs and how your situation is, which I really appreciate. But yeah, it works pretty elaborately in there, but I haven't caught on to all the bits yet.
So a term is not an entire year. It's kind of more like it could be for a few months. It could be for a month. It's a little bit more, I guess, freeform is the way I'll phrase that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think the longest term is you usually get signed up for, I think it's 9 months, I believe.
Okay. Wow.
And I'm sure there probably are some projects they've done where maybe they've done a whole year, but I haven't know about any of those. I would be interested to see what that's like, because that'd probably be a very intensive term.
I'm curious how long you spent at Saguaro.
Yes, I spent 2 months at Saguaro and 1 month in between at Oregon Pipe. And the Saguaro experience was amazing. I love Saguaro. I love Saguaro so much.
We're going to Saguaro for the first time in about, oh my goodness, in like a month. What should we do?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. If it's okay, if I can like go to my photos and just kind of look around.
Please.
Okay. Because being at Saguaro was such more of an educational experience than I would say than like a working experience. You know, there's tons of turtles that you can try to find. I don't remember when they come out and about because we did this like in the fall time. So I don't know if that's when they usually come out, but there's tons of creatures that I have not seen before, like tarantulas. I first did not like spiders, but that is a feat.
You said the kind of the worst words. I just was like, great. So this will just be me walking in front the entire time and trying to soothe him because there are tarantulas.
Maybe so, but I feel like you might like them. You might like them. They're super cute. I would definitely say watching out just for all the things that work around this climate is so interesting to see coming from Michigan and how it's vastly different. I'm trying to think of what trails we went on. Before I worked my first week at Saguaro, we took a hike through, what trail is it? I think it's called King Canyon. Oh man, what is it called? I think it's called King Canyon Trail. And we went to a peak called Wasson Peak. It was a very long hike. It was very long and it was very hot. But I would say it was worth it. It was a beautiful view. That was a beautiful view. So I would say Wasson Peak. And it's not that bad. It's not too bad.
We love long hikes. So we do them often. So that sounds great. I will totally take your word for it on, I think if I can rebrand my thinking around spiders into like tarantulas are cute, then I think I'll be all right. I want to go on the record saying that now when we're in Saguaro and I see a tarantula, I'm immediately going to be hearing Tiana's voice saying like, yeah, but they're cute. And so there is like a, I think there's like a neurological pathway interception happening here. So there we go.
Spiders are cute. They're cute.
There we go. I'm going to take that with me. Truly.
It did take me a bit, though.
A question that's like kind of big for me, and I think in general, it's something we talk about all the time, and we've definitely touched on this interview, but haven't really drilled into so specifically, is why do you think that representation matters in the national park system?
Oh, man. Representation matters so much to me. And I didn't even really think too much about it back, I would even say like a year ago, you know, I didn't really think about it much at all until I came here and learned about, and I knew about it before, but all this ground that we're on, it's so sacred, it's been protected and it's been looked after and it's, you know, it has all this history on it and we don't really know much. So we've got to show respect and kind of show that this space isn't just ours. It's not just a man's and, you know, man's environment. It's nature. We're trying to take care of it because it's always been taken care of us and the people that were before us, you know, that were rightfully here, you know. It just gives a lot of respect to remember that everyone belongs here. And I think for a while, it kind of felt like, in my experience, that it wasn't too welcome. It felt like you had to have all this right gear. You had to know what you're doing. You had to, you know, it's silly to put yourself on the line like that, and especially in nature, you know. And it was really important to learn that here because Ace does not shy away from talking about that and about all the land that we're on. In Arizona, there's a lot of native land that we're working on and we'll be walking on. So it was really lovely to learn about that and all the tribes that have been there. And that's more on the cultural aspect, but I also love to see my people, you know, my queer people included as well. So it was just been a really beautiful experience for me. I would say I learned more on the cultural aspect of the land, but it matters all the way around, of course. I think it's also really important how Ace elaborates on how important it is. They understand that coming from families with just not the most positive experiences with nature, they understand that you might not have all the gear you need. They understand you might not know what to do and how to do it safely. And so they really do a great job of having a gear cache that people put their old and the gear that they don't want anymore, and people are allowed to utilize that, and they give you a coupon to these like outdoor gear stores. And it's really helped me. Like, I have this, I'm using one of their like 60 liter backpacks, their hiking bags, that I would not have been able to get before. And it's so awesome that I'm able to get comfortable and really dive into this work without being afraid of not having the right stuff and being stranded out there. And so it's really nice that they have representation for, you know, your financial situations, representations for people of color. They also have a lot of programs for other cultural groups as well. You know, I've seen some Native American youth, and like there was one conservation corps I saw that I wanted to like volunteer for. I think it was like Latina youth. And that was super cool that they're trying to get the youth really involved. They're trying to get this new generation revved up and excited and confident in this. So hope I can also work in that section as well, like be a instructor or like just something involved with that. That is a beautiful lesson that we're trying to teach. So I hope that keeps going.
So I'm wondering, since you have the hiking backpack, so you've got your backpack, you're on a hike, what's always in your backpack?
An orange. I love snacks. I think also how healthy this term has made me is beautiful, just because I'm just eating more. Like, it doesn't matter what I'm eating, I'm just eating. I have granola bars, trail mix, protein bars. You gotta have some snacks. It's so hot. It's so hot. You gotta have some snacks.
Separately, coming from the other aspect of the end of that last question that you answered, people who are both educators, it seems like there is definitely a fire in you for that, especially when it comes to this. And like being able to give back, is that something that is a possibility to, and like passing this information on that you've learned?
Absolutely, yes. I do think I have a passion for teaching, but even more so, I have a passion for the youth. Like, honestly, I used to be a preschool teacher or like a teacher assistant. Like, I helped them like learn their colors and not hit each other, but I loved it. I loved it. And it was really cool to see how excited young minds are and how they're just given positivity and like some like outdoor time. If you just give them that thing, they can be really good at it. And I think positivity is so important, and exposure. I think exposure is just really important that they can do stuff like this. And I really enjoy how ACE has a very good ladder system. They do. I was going to maybe be an assistant team lead, but I chose to do the fire crew. But they allow chances for you to become an assistant team lead, and then they want you to be a crew leader, and then you can be like a project manager. So it feels like you do have plenty of options if you do want to stay and build up that way. But I would love to become a crew lead and then maybe climb up that ladder. Or if I could become a part of a group that gets these young people together and we go out and explore safely and teach them about the importance of leave no trace. You know, you want to make sure that you respect your environment and the nature you're in, and respect everyone in it and all the creatures. So that would be really, really cool to do. I am pursuing that. Absolutely.
I have to say, you like just radiate like exuberance for this entire experience. The joy, like that's the one thing that I feel like I have picked up on the entire time that we've been talking, is just the amount of joy for what you're doing, how it's sort of has given you sort of a new kind of script for the outdoors for yourself. It's kind of allowed you to become more confident. It's given you so much. It seems like, you know, that is the one thing that if I'm taking anything away from as a listener or just even as the person talking to you, it's just joy. It's just this like total, you know, uninterrupted joy. It's amazing to see that. And it's something that is so necessary in, you know, life, but in the work that you're doing, like to find the joy in that is so important because you're giving back in so many ways. And that give back is allowing other people to experience these spaces for years to come.
Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. Especially because like growing up, I think one motivator that stuck in my head was the difference between like how my family described a job versus a career, you know, not just something you do to get by, you know, which is totally okay, but something that you want to do, you know, every day you wake up and you're excited to do it. And I genuinely feel that, like, they're right. I genuinely wake up and I don't mind going out and hiking for like, that's awesome. Like, I'm hiking and then I know exactly why I'm doing this. I know why I'm getting rid of this grass. I know that the earth, like this environment, this plot of land is not like this being here, and I'm helping it. And it's also helping the birds, you know, when we were at Laguna Atascosa and we are spraying mesquite trees or mesquite growth, because they grow and then they provide these other bigger birds to eat all the other birds in the area. And I mean, we love all birds, but this refuge is for this hawk that we are protecting. I wish I could remember the name, and I'm sorry I don't, but we're protecting this hawk, and it's really cool to just kind of see that in motion. I remember when we left on the highway, I saw one of the hawks that we're protecting sitting on the little like side of the highway, and it felt like a little sign. I was like, oh, they're sitting there. They're enjoying their climate. We're helping a little bit.
You said that was, where is the hawk preserve?
Laguna Atascosa. I'm going to
look that up.
You piqued this bird nerd's interest over here.
Yeah, I'm a huge bird nerd.
Are you? Yay. I'm huge. So glad. I learned huge. About birds so much there, and I feel like you'd like that. You should go there. It is by the coast, and there's all these beautiful, beautiful birds.
Okay, great. I mean, done.
Sold.
Sold. Sold. I literally go out and take photographs of crows every day. So yeah, no, I am a huge bird nerd.
So glad. I'm so glad. Okay, then I hope you do come here, because that is kind of, well, it is kind of far from Arizona, but if you do come by, I believe there are still a lot of birds in migration. And I just saw this really pretty pink bird called the spoonbill, like the roseate spoonbill, if you look that up. And they're gorgeous pink. So I really hope you see one.
Oh my God, that bird is so gorgeous. I'm looking at photos of it right now. What? Ah! And it's got that like rounded bill at the end.
Yeah, I didn't even know a bird like that existed. I was like, am I seeing that right?
No, so, I have to look it up too.
Yes, please, mm-hmm. please. She's gorgeous.
Oh, wow. It's almost like it feels like a flamingo in some ways.
Right?
And they're rare, apparently. They're beautiful. That little orange in there too.
Mm-hmm.
This is me. I'm a bird nerd by proxy.
Yeah. Yes.
Because bird nerds beget other bird nerds.
True. Mm-hmm.
Real in them in.
How it works. That's right. Real in them in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited to hear the role the outdoors has played in your journey to yourself, your journey in your life, the way you've been able to bring it to others, and the way it keeps driving your own curiosity.
It really got proved important to me that healing yourself and like finding out what you need and finding what makes you want to wake up every day and makes you want to be you, it really just automatically kind of radiates out, you know? And when you have enough in your cup and you're filling up your own cup with your own love and your own inspiration, it can be effortless to like just give it out and to just have this positivity that I feel like people enjoy. I enjoy it a lot just to have this sort of optimism, just because like I'm loving myself and letting myself explore life how I want to and just how I feel is right. So it's really cool, especially in being surrounded by others that also do that, and they also want to just improve themselves and improve the environment so that we all are living in it healthily, enjoying it and taking care of it. Wow. I'm in love.
To learn more about the National Park Foundation and all of its programs, be sure to visit their website to learn more, nationalparks.org. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariello Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.